Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Be seated. They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Technically, they were right. These Jews who had believed in him who said these words. Sure, their ancestors had been slaves in Egypt back in the day, and later slaves and exiles in Babylon, but they themselves had never been enslaved to anyone. That was true. Oh, they had to pay taxes to the Romans. But the Romans let them rule themselves for the most part, as long as they didn't cause any trouble. So what is this freedom talk, Jesus? You're not making sense. But the taskmaster Jesus was talking about was far worse than they knew. Jesus could see it, even if they couldn't. They said they had never been enslaved to anyone, but Jesus knew they had always been enslaved to a very demanding taskmaster. As have you. And that one, that taskmaster, is you. Your own sinful nature. If you've done something that you know you shouldn't have done, you are a slave to sin, to your own sinful nature. If you've flown off the handle, lost your temper, lashed out in anger, you are a slave to that sin, to your own sinful nature. If you've said words that hurt, that you later regretted and wished you could take back, if you've hated, harbored a grudge, refused to forgive, you are a slave to sin, to your own sinful nature. If you've been bitter, resentful, obsessed with a certain sin committed against you, if you've had impure thoughts and desires springing up, living in your heart and mind, you are a slave to sin, to your own sinful nature. If you haven't lived as the child of God you are, why not? Because you are a slave to sin, to your own sinful nature. And if I didn't hit your sin in this list, I could. Careless sins, willful sins, impulsive sins, nagging sins, aggressive sins, passive sins, sins clinging to you like stink on a dog. But perhaps you already know this. How you are a slave to your sin, to your own sinful nature. Because the new man in you, the reborn Christ man in you, does none of those things. But that old man in you, that sinful nature in you, is controlling you, is demanding and unrelenting. And just telling you not to do those things doesn't help. You already know that. As a Christian from the Ten Commandments, you know what you should do and should not do, and yet still do. Sometimes carelessly, sometimes willfully, sometimes rashly and impulsively. The Apostle Paul knew this. He said the commandments didn't stop, but actually ignited the sin in him. Luther knew it true too. The harder he tried to keep the law, the more he saw the sin in himself and the more he saw it controlling him. And the scriptures agree. As we heard today, the law cannot make us good. What it does is it holds us accountable to God. It shows us how we've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It shows us this, convicts us of this, but it doesn't give us the power to change this. Oh, maybe you think you can. But the truth is that trying to overcome our sins is like playing whack-a-mole. Some of you are old enough to remember that arcade game. Some of you are old enough to remember arcades and even gone to them. But the purpose of the game is to try to whack the moles that are coming up out of their holes. And just when you whack one, one or more pop up someplace else. That is how it is with your sin. Just when you whack one sin, one or more pop up someplace else in your life. And then even that sin you whacked before pops up someplace else. And maybe you do okay for a while. But sooner or later, there are too many moles, too many sins coming up too fast. You lose, game over. You can't win. And it never ends. Now, that's one thing when you're in an arcade playing a game. It's another when it's real life. Or maybe better to say, when your life depends on it. So you can try to win this on your own. This struggle to whack and be free of your slavery to sin. Or have someone win it for you. By the one who isn't enslaved, doesn't have any sins of his own to whack, so he can whack yours and set you free. The Son. For if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So that's why Jesus, why the Son of God came in the flesh. To play whack-a-mole, but not with the visible effects of our sin as we do and lose, but better, to whack the causes of our sin and win. To whack the evil one by putting his foot on his head. To whack that old sinful man in us by pushing him under the waters of holy baptism to drown the life out of him. But not to leave us there, whacked, or just have that old sinful man pop up somewhere else again. But to then raise up out of that water a new man, a newborn Christian, set free to live a new life. A new life under a new master, but this one, a good and gracious master who wants the best for us. Who does want to be a master of slaves, not at all. But who really wants to be a father to children. And that is what you now are. Sons of God in the Son of God. That we be controlled no longer by our sinful human natures, but set free and controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, the Jews who believed in Jesus didn't understand that. If there was something to be done, they would do it. Just try a little harder. And that's what those in Rome thought at the time of the Reformation too, and many people today. We don't like to be told we can't do something. Yes, I can. I can do it. I can be good enough. I'm no slave to sin. But the evidence tells a different story. Whether we want to admit it or not, you know it. Look at your life. Look at the world. So much wrong, so much falling apart, so much that is not good. It's true what Paul said. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, which makes it really sound better than it really is. Like just falling short, just a little bit. We almost made it. We just fell a little short. But short is short. Short is out. Short isn't good enough. Good enough is not good enough. A good slave is still a slave and will die as a slave. We have fallen short. We didn't make it and can't make it. They closed the cabin door. You missed your flight. That ship has sailed. Unless something changes. The world won't turn that ship around or reopen the cabin door for you or bring that plane back to the gate. But Jesus did change something for us, and even greater. He turned around death and opened the grave. So those of us buried under our sins or the sins of others, and sometimes far more than 6 feet under, have a new lease on life. A new life to live. No longer controlled by our sin and sinful human nature, and not controlled by others and their sin, but now controlled by the love of Christ. So that instead of trying to justify ourselves and be good enough, we repent and be justified or made right by the forgiveness of Jesus. And when others sin against us, instead of holding a grudge or demanding satisfaction, we forgive. And as the Spirit of God comes to us and works in us through the Word, and the body and blood of Christ are fed to us in the supper, new thoughts, new impulses are strengthened and begin to lead us. And that old evil tyrant and our old sinful nature, not so much anymore. That's the freedom Jesus is talking about here, which, yes, those Jewish believers needed, and those at the time of the Reformation needed, and we need. For there is no difference, no distinction, Paul said. And that means all people of all time need this freedom, which Jesus came to provide for all people of all time. That what you were need not be who you are, and who you are be a new creation in Christ. No longer a slave, but a free child of God. To live not in hate, but in love. Not in revenge, but in forgiveness. Not in fear, but in hope. Not in worry, but in confidence. The confidence of a dearly loved child. That's what Jesus has for you, and what the Reformation was all about. It wasn't about a man. It wasn't about throwing off authority. It wasn't a revolt or a revolution. It was the proclamation of the eternal gospel. The good news of a Savior for all people of all time. The good news of a Savior who will not change. The good news of a Savior for you. Built on that rock, the church shall stand and will not fall. Even when the earth gives way, even when the evil one roars and threatens, even when our own consciences afflict us. For even in the worst of times, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Take refuge in Him, in His words, in his forgiveness. Look to him and not at what is happening in the world. For that out there, who knows? But this, him, this is a sure thing. Your salvation accomplished, your life restored, the battle won. So take refuge here in this, in him, your mighty fortress of body and blood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.